Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
And just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. We are going to be airing episodes every Monday. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars Series 3, Episode L. Lamest episode ever. Oh boy, is this a damp squib of a heat.
A damp squid?
Damp squib. Ironically enough, it's also one of the ones that I think Craig Charles has been the most energetic at the start.
Wow, I wonder why.
Yes, maybe he's had some assistance, he's had some coffee, or his friend Charlie's come to visit, or I don't know, but he's definitely in good spirits.
Oh, that's really nice. Charlie came to visit. Charlie said, "Mom, mom, 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 mom."
Anyway, let's go through our list of robots.
This is gonna be fun.
Panzer, Undertaker, Evil, as Philip insists on saying.
We get enough of that. You really need to do that.
Tri-Terabot, Atlas, Challenger 2, Wild Willy, and Flip Flop Fly.
Don't care if I die. That's the only song that I remember from Chicken Run.
You have Exterminator, you have the Big Cheese, you have Eric.
You have
Centurion. You have so many bots that were in the wrong heat and just hit a robot that was an unstoppable force. And then you get this heat.
Yeah. Hooey.
Including the most famous robot in this heat is a spin-off of the defending champions, who are the only team that got through in the football because they didn't score.
And spoilers for the final of the football, won the championship for football without ever scoring a goal.
It's about the only thing it does in its entire existence.
Yeah. I mean, that must be some kind of record. Winning a robotics football championships from never scoring.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that. So, our first flight is
from Hereford, Flip Flop Fly.
Your traditional Whackbot made from a barrel of some variety.
Yes, but slow and shit.
It still seems to have some power in that axe.
Yeah, yeah. You know, none of it. None power.
What, the power of God?
No, more of the power of dog.
No, the power of Doge.
Doge?
Wow, such power. So fast.
Yeah, it's like, you know when a big dog sees you and he gets so excited that he runs up to you and like kind of jumps up and hits you with its paws. That's probably about the amount of power that Flip Flop Fly has in that axe.
Yeah, that's not too far.
You know, like where like the dog hits you and you kind of like go, like a little bit of it hits you in the stomach, but it's nothing too bad that you can take it, but you're still startled slightly. Yeah, I think that's the equivalent.
Yep.
From Lincoln. Wild Willy.
Which is a giant purple wedge bot with a pickaxe.
But it's like it's got a head.
Yeah, there's so much weight that doesn't need to be there.
It is a big old robot.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like it's what do you call that thing? Like a praying mantis head?
Absolutely.
That's like the only thing that I can think. And then its little pickaxe, which is just like na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
It's not.
And it's just a giant purple thing.
Absolutely, it's.
It's something. It's a robot.
It's something. It's also surprisingly effective in the battle at first. It tries to attack everything that moves, including Sergeant Bash.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very fast.
Yeah.
Very fast.
And then early on, it becomes clear that Flip Flop Fly, one of its tires is going flat.
This is where the old Series 3 conspiracy thing comes in again. Because I would argue that Flip Flop Fly was not moving for an incredibly long time before Wild Willy ended up on the pit.
What happens? Wild Willy, apropos of nothing, drives over the edge of the pit. And it's kind of hanging on the side, and it tries to use its axe to work itself free.
Yeah.
Which works in theory.
Well, it was sort of getting there. It may have, like, if you just left it for another minute or two.
And then, whilst this is happening, Flip Flop Fly is very slowly crawling enough to say that it's moving.
I would debate that it was even moving
generous.
That much. Yes. Well said. Because, Jesus. Like, the movement of Flip Flop Fly, it's not very fast to begin with, but by the time that it gets anywhere near the this point that we're talking about with Wild Willy being on the side of the apron, Jesus Christ, I've watched too much wrestling, the side of the pit, that it is not moving, its tires are punctured, it's... Jesus, like, I've seen snails that travel faster than Flip Flop Fly did. And so I think that this is absolutely, like, the wrong decision. Because it did go to a judge's decision, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the judges did make a call. It's not a fight to write home about.
Well, I think it is, but for all the wrong reasons. Like, the reasons we're kind of discussing right now is just, like...
It's about the most interesting thing that happens in this show.
Because it's the whole aspect of, especially because it's season 3 for a start, like there's been at least 2, maybe 3 robots that have been pitted that have then advanced to the next round for some circumstance. And it's like, I think this is one of these few times where the judges would have been right to give it to Wild Willy to advance, because Flip Flop Fly was not fucking moving for about a good minute. Like, it was probably just moving outside its circumference, but Jesus Christ, man, like, it looked like you could probably, like, blow the robot and it would move out its circumference. It was moving that slowly. It's just unfair, all right?
Okay, Hound of Justice, put it away.
Bruff, bruff.
We get on to the next match.
So, apparently, this is a returning team. I'll get into that in a minute. From Bath, Atlas.
This is a returning robot.
Not a returning robot, but a returning team. They had Thud in Series 2, who was in the Superweight
Third was a tracked robot that competed in the Superweight Showdown competition, part of the Grudge Match special on Robot Wars: The Second Wars. It lost its Super Showdown qualifier to Siren. So it was there. It had a match.
Okay.
I mean,
that's
granted.
Nice.
BBC, and I know that you have all of these matches. Can you not just release them on, like, your fucking YouTube channel or something?
So they actually have a CAD for Atlas. And I look at... It's like, you know that thing in The Simpsons? Where I was like, wow, that's an amazing looking grill.
Why does mine look like that? Yep.
Atlas is... It's a wedge bot that's high off the ground. It's got a little bulldozer-esque scoop at the front, and as so many robots in the third series do, a random saw on an arm.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of...
And a little robot sits. Man on top.
Yeah, and loads of crap on top of it that just seems to add weight and do nothing else.
Yeah, it's got, like, wires and stuff, and it's like, would that not be counted as entanglement weapons? Which were not allowed in these seasons.
Well, it wasn't quite as clear-cut by this point. It wasn't until spinners really got popular. So, next up.
I mean, his opponent had a spinner. From High Wycombe, Challenger 2.
The returning Challenger robot, which was very light. So they've managed to add some more weight to it by putting some spikes on it. And the weapon that in theory is a drum spinner.
Mm-hmm.
They in seem theory. To think is some sort of bizarre lifting mechanism.
Yeah.
And is in reality a little spinning rolling pin on the front of it.
Yeah, they seem to think that the weapon is going to pick up other robots and pull them on top of Challenger. And then the spike strip that's kind of on top of the flat part of Challenger will then catch the robot, and then they can essentially, I assume, put them in the pit or whatever. But obviously that never really comes into effect because the weapon spins so slowly, even though I think they says it spins around 1,100 RP or something like that. So like some big number that is clearly a lie.
Yep, we actually get this battle is sort of slow. It becomes very clear when you watch it. Atlas looks very flimsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Atlas is the equivalent of give a kid a piece of paper and say, draw a fighting robot, and then this is what they will come out with.
And then they use the paper as the armor.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it'll have a little robot man with guns, and then it's gonna have a big like it's gonna have a big like thunderbolt in front of it, and then like it's gonna have all these things, and then it's gonna have an axe or a saw at the back, and oh, like maybe the robot can shoot flames. We're not allowed to use flames. All right, okay, the robot can shoot bullets. Like we're not allowed to shoot bullets. The robot can just be there.
Yep.
Kids are dumb.
So Atlas breaks down. Sekilolot lifts Atlas by his lance.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Shunt comes over and decapitates the toy.
That is like Shunt's favourite thing to do, is to break heads.
Yes. As this happens, the armour around Killalot's lance just disintegrate, and Atlas lands on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Shunt keeps wailing on it, and though we don't see it during the actual fight, destroys the toy entirely.
Yeah, like you kind of see from like a back camera angle where Shunt swings the axe again, and you just see bits of the toy fly everywhere, but you don't get like a good look on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so needless to say, this match was just very slow and dull. The most interesting part of this fight is, before the fight, when they showed Challenger from season two absolutely failing at the King of the Castle round against Matilda. And it seems to be an almost reoccurring thing in season three, where it's like any robots that return from season two, they show them at their absolute like weakest point.
Yeah.
Because spoilers for later episodes, when Plunderstorm shows up, they show Plunderstorm driving into the pit during one of their gauntlet runs, and it's like, come on, that in season two Plunderbird had that part where it knocked off both Dead Metal and Sergeant Bash during King of the Castle. So why would you show that clip? I just find that really weird.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get to that next week.
Yeah.
We get to the third first round match.
From Cardiff, Evil Weevil.
Which is effectively a spin-off of Panic Attack. And how we find out how good at driving Kim Davis actually is.
Yeah. Because it's not the same for Evil Weevil.
No.
And his opponent from Bristol, Triterabot.
Which is a bizarre machine. It is a triangular robot that doesn't have a clear front, it has spikes on each corner, and it's bright green.
With goofy faces everywhere.
Yep. This fight is just a bit...
Yeah, but the only...
Evil Weevil is just so weirdly driven.
Mm-hmm.
Because you actually, when Evil Weevil actually gets its shit together, it flips Triterabot onto a side in a way that it can't self-right itself. And it's really good at that moment, and it does really well. And then it tries to pit the robot, and it misses.
Oh yeah, like wide miss. There is a point like early on in the match where you actually see Evil Weevil stuck on the wall. And then it kind of cuts away, and then when it cuts back, it's fine, but I wonder if, like, maybe one of the house robots or something kind of helped him off there.
What eventually happens, at one point, Triterapod starts smoking for no discernible reason and stops for as much a discernible reason.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it gets stuck on its side in a weird angle, and then Evil Weevil goes, oh, yay, we've won, and attacks Shunt. Shunt goes, you're not Panic Attack, and nails it.
Oh, yeah. One big solid shot. Yeah, so there was, right at the end when Cease is called, like, Dead Metal was kind of attacking Triterabot, and you just see, like, Dead Metal is, like, three quarters of the way hovering over the pit, just kind of holding on to Triterabot for dear life.
Absolutely.
And then Triterabot goes backstage and Philippa starts talking about robot orgies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't like it.
What, robot orgies?
Well, more Philippa talking about them.
Hmm.
But anyway, so we get on to the final first round match.
From Lancashire, The Undertaker.
And Mark Calloway, the team seem to be more interested in talking about how their robot was painted than how it actually works.
I mean, to be honest, it does look fantastic.
Well, it looks brilliant, but still. I mean, apart from one thing, which is the axe is in a really weird position.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it can swing that hard.
Is it stuck erect and it sweeps down? In theory, it would sweep down. It doesn't actually in reality.
No.
And its opponent.
From Gloucestershire, Panzer.
Which is a really interesting design. I think they made the right decision not using the saw blade in this robot, which was a pod weapon that they could attach. And it's a tank. It's almost two-thirds of the robot is tank tread.
Yeah. Yeah, they're big old thick tank treads.
Yep.
Yeah, as I said, the attention to detail on Undertaker, though, is pretty awesome because, like, they've got all the kind of, like, the little handles and all that, which I did like, and so...
Yeah,
so I'm thinking Undertaker, Gravedigger, and Tombstone as a triple threat of a robot tag team.
Right, okay, because I would have thought Grim Reaper, Undertaker, and Gravedigger.
Which one's Grim Reaper again?
The awesome fast one that Big Brawl fights.
Well, okay, like, let's have four of them in a faction and then we can split them off into two tag teams. Maybe have Tombstone and Grim Reaper.
Tombstone's the one that's actually the star.
Tombstone's
the one that actually can do the work.
Tombstone is essentially like the Triple H of the group, whereas...
Yeah.
Or is he the Ric Flair, actually?
Undertaker's the X-Pac. So, this match is pretty much all Panzer.
Yeah, because...
It's just so faster. It just gets side on, rear on, and just pushes this robot around.
Well, the thing is, Undertaker starts not working. One of its sides is instantly broken the second that he gets in there. And I'm pretty sure Undertaker is one of those teams that complained about the production staff at Robot Wars because apparently they didn't turn the robot on properly or something along those lines. I'm pretty sure Undertaker's name's one of the names that comes up, yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll be talking about that a lot next week.
Mm.
Anyway, so Panzer takes the victory by judge's decision.
Yep.
Which I had to.
And actually dished out some damage on the Undertaker with its spikes. So, you know, the spikes actually done something.
Yep.
Hi guys, Alan.
And the Gris.
Here with a slight break from the main show. So thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
If you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a podcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go onto to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers, Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode.
So, the trial. It's Pinball. And remember last week when we were talking about box-shaped robots? This is the boxiest shaped robot to ever box. Our robot.
Yes, it is the boxiest box that ever did box with an axe. It is the return of the Oblivion team, this time with a robot that has a weapon.
Yes.
Obviously, this is a team that will go on to become the future Supernova.
Yes, and this probably, I would say, argue, is the worst iteration of any of their robots.
Yep.
Even Oblivion 1 kind of had something to it.
Yes. That thing it turned out to be was a magnet for Mortis's axe.
Ah. Pepper pot.
Yes. So, this one has a decent start. It does get stuck on the wall, and it even pushes Sergeant Bash out of the way to get the 50-point target.
Yeah, it definitely has like a little bit of being power to it.
It's weird. What happens is, as it goes past Bash to get to the next thing, Bash blasts it with its flame, and it just goes dead.
Yeah. It's like, it kind of gets stuck between, like, Sir Killalot just comes in from right off camera, like I'm fucking hell on fire. Hell on fire? I think that's the right word I was trying to say. Hell on earth, maybe. Yeah, he just comes in super quick and then just, like, essentially traps Oblivion between himself and Sergeant Bash. And then that was pretty much it. And then Sergeant Bash accidentally lights Sir Killalot on fire again.
Yes, again.
And Jonathan Pierce, as usual, acts like it's the first time.
Absolutely. It's a shame because it was a good start, but disappointing end, so it only gets 75.
Well, still beat Rocks.
Yep, still beat Rocks.
So next up Kelleher's is actually, for that matter.
Evil Weevil versus Flipback. Yeah, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Evil Weevil versus Flip Flop Fly.
Next, please. I don't want to talk about this match.
Okay, I'll talk about it. So, this is where Philippa starts to like saying Evil Weevil. The fight starts very slowly. Evil Weevil starts the fight spinning for no discernible reason.
Yes, spinning.
Finally, it does get a couple of good charges in. Now, it drives into the CPZ. It takes 3 blows off Shun, which it does take and survives, to be fair. Does better than Hypnodist does against Shun. It does manage to push Flip Flop Fly into Shun. And Shun and Flip Flop Fly have an axe battle.
Yeah, but who's going to win that?
So what ends up happening is Flop Fly's tires start to go. Then it just seems to lose a wheel. And the house robots jump it. And Evil Weevil just stands in the center and goes, "If I don't move, they can't see me."
The house robot's senses are based on movement.
Yes, indeed. So let's get on to a more interesting fight.
I mean, it's not going to be difficult.
So the next fight is Challenger versus Panzer. At first, it's a really interesting fight. It's two robots fighting for position, and then Panzer just gets behind Challenger, and Challenger just disappears into the pit.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of pushing power behind Panzer. I was starting to get really impressed with Panzer here.
Yes. So, Shunt and Sekillot menace Challenger, and I notice here, does Shunt have a load of new cables around his scoop? Or were they always there?
Shunt. So, is this when Challenger's in the pit and he's attacking, yeah?
Yeah, he just seems to have a load more cables around him.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of, like, yellow cables and stuff. Maybe they were, like, the only ones that they had left, and they just happened to be yellow, and maybe they were normally, like, black or something, so they weren't as noticeable. But because they're bright yellow, they're much more noticeable than usual.
So, interesting note here. Panzer doesn't seem to be moving at the end of this match.
Oh, yeah. It just kind of sat there.
And then they get to the last match. Evil Weevil versus Panzer. And they build up the fight and they do pre-match interviews. And the fight starts.
but Panzer doesn't.
Panzer doesn't move.
Right, as I was just really starting to get on the whole Panzer train as well.
And what I'll say, I'm going to be quite blunt here. This is a team with kids in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is cruel. The fact that they didn't... See, after 30 seconds, they went, okay, it's done, fine, we'll end the fight. The fact that they then get the house robots attack kids, it's just call the fight after 30 seconds and move on.
It's a bit dickish for the sake of being dickish, isn't it?
I mean, it's not... I mean, as I said, the fact it's a kids' team, if it was any other team, fair enough, fair play, have at them. But the fact that there's two wee boys there, and, you know, it's, you're trying to encourage people to get into engineering. You don't do that by destroying something when it doesn't work.
Is it not the Evil Weevil team that have the kids in it?
Both teams have kids in them.
Yeah.
They actually talk about, this is two future up-and-coming stars in the build-up to this fight.
Right. Okay, I see one young kid in Panzer. Just flicking through. But yeah, kids in both is what you're saying.
Yeah. So that brings an end to the episode, and...
Yeah. Was this... Like, it's bad that this was the dullest episode, considering we covered the early episodes of the season where there was no crowd in the arena, and it felt more exciting than this episode did.
Yeah. This is not a great episode. It does have some trivia, though.
Oh, good. This was the most boring episode. Trivia.
So, for the second heat in a row, a robot from Hereford was the first robot introduced.
I like that.
Oh, God. Although Evil Weevil team captain Kevin Pritchard was part of the panic attack team in Series 2, none of the robots in this heat actually made it to the semi-finals in the previous series.
That's true.
Whilst reviewing the lineup for the Eliminators, Jonathan Pierce refers to Challenger 2 as Challenge 2, but later refers to it by its proper name.
Wow.
Like in the previous heat, this battle featured a battle between a robot from Hereford and a robot from Wales. However, in this heat, the battle happened in the heat semi-final, not the heat final.
Ooh.
Atlas was the successor to FUD from Series 2, so all eight teams in this heat had or would appear in another episode.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, we get on to the Do you know what? No, we're not doing this. Every robot underperformed. Degrees of underperformance.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to say, in my opinion, Evil Weevil overperformed in that somehow it actually managed to win 3 matches.
Well, it had a very easy first match against that dumb Tyrera bot. Then in the semis, it had a very easy match against Flip Flop Fly, which is arguably one of the worst robots ever. I mean, you know, if Wild Willy had won that decision, which it should have, I would have been much more interested to see how that match would have went.
Yeah.
I'm not even advocating the fact that Wild Willy is a good robot. It's decent. It's fine. There's not really that much wrong with it. I just feel like that was winning that match, and Flip Flop Fly was very barely showing any signs of life. And I think the judge's decision should have just been Wild Willy was doing a hell of a lot more. And they could even just say, yeah, it appeared like Flip Flop Fly was immobilized at the time Wild Willy went out the pit, and Wild Willy should have moved on.
Also, what's quite incredible, almost all these robots cost more than Chaos 2.
Yeah.
Including Undertaker top cost $3,000.
Yeah. And if what they're saying is true, and the producers or whoever it was that didn't turn them on properly, like, you know, if things like the Wild Willie incident and Undertaker working properly, or even Panzer working in the Heat final, happened, like, I definitely think that would have just made this episode like a bit more exciting. But just everything just seemed to go wrong in this episode, and I'd almost feel like maybe some of these matches should have just been done again.
So, right. Most improved. Well, Undertaker looked pretty. So Undertaker's most improved, because it was that or Challenger 2.
Yeah.
And best newcomer, we'll say Evil Weevil, because it won the episode. So, congratulations, Evil Weevil, you won.
Well done, Evil Weevil. That's the second award you've won while not really doing anything.
So, let's be perfect. I almost wonder if this episode was drawn so that Evil Weevil could face Panic Attack later in the series.
Yeah, more than likely. And just the weird way that the final went, where Panzer didn't have like a chance. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's just something odd about that.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get on to next week's episode, which on paper is a great episode. In reality, is a bonkers episode.
Oh.
And let's be honest, in historical fact, is probably the biggest example of producer fuckery not involving Storm 2.
Don't know what you're talking about.
It's the episode that we spent more than a third of our controversies episode talking about. It is Heat F.
Ooh. See you next week.
See you next week.